Commissioner Brian Caffarelli is here from the Department of Consumer Protection in our great state of Connecticut. And Brian, let's start with some substances that were designated as Schedule 1 controlled substances last month. I want to make sure people understand and know what this change is all about.
Yeah, no, and thanks for having me. It's good to always be with you, Melissa. I guess I was anxious to get started. So
it's okay. I missed you too, Brian. I know these monthly visits are just not enough, and maybe you should come in studio next time. There you go. I'm just kidding.
We're talking about that. We will do that soon.
Perfect.
But so, yeah, the Legislative Regulation Review Committee, they unanimously approved to update the controlled substance drug schedule for several substances. And so that's a lot of words, and what does it really mean to you and your listeners? So there are drugs or synthetics that are now designated as Schedule 1, which is a Schedule 1 means that the drug provides no medical use and has a high potential for abuse. So this includes kratom, the 7-OH, this tianapetine, which I always say wrong, but actually it's commonly known as gas station heroin, and several other substances that the legislature, through a public hearing, and then asked our subject matter experts to review and designate, and found that, again, these drugs and substances provide no medical use and they have a high potential for abuse. So kratom, a lot of people may have seen these neon signs in gas stations or other types of shops, convenience stores. It's sold in a lot of different forms: pills, beverages, gummies, candy, powder, and this leaf form. And there's no medical use. It's not prescribed by physicians. And it's primarily available for people to purchase of all ages. So, you know, with no regulations, no testing, and no other consumer protections, this drug, the derivatives of it, the 7-OH, are sold alongside other drugs that are known to be harmful and addictive. And so the state found that kratom posed this public health concern. So we're the seventh state to designate it as a Schedule 1 controlled substance. And so it does allow us, what the legislature did, to reschedule it in the future if some new research shows that it has some type of medical benefit. And, you know, I want your listeners to know, if there are people struggling with addiction to this or other substances that were classified, they can find information about services, including treatment and withdrawal management, through the Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services website. But it's a real issue.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it. And I want to talk more about kratom in a second. But I first want to go back to something even more elementary, Brian, I'm sure. But for most people, when you hear Schedule 1 controlled substance, that may sound like, I don't know what that means. But you're talking about kind of the level of potential danger. Like, what does that mean to be a Schedule 1? Because my understanding is right now at the federal level, there's an effort to reclassify, for example, marijuana right now as a Schedule 1 drug, which I think is fascinating, quite frankly, whether you like marijuana or you don't. The fact that that is a Schedule 1, I want people to understand, you know, what does that mean to be at a Schedule 1 versus a Schedule, you know, 2 or 3? This is the level of danger for users, or what does that mean exactly?
Yeah. And so that's thank you for pointing that out. I don't think cannabis is probably the best example because of the interplay that the states have had with their programs and the federal, differentiation. But if you think about, so the federal government, they will schedule drugs that you receive that is used, and whether or not it has a medical use and a potential for abuse. So drug that you need to go to a doctor for to get a prescription in general, an antibiotic, blood pressure medication, that's just a legend drug. And they are not scheduled drugs, but they are legend drugs. So you need a prescription and a doctor should be monitoring you. Now, the scheduled drugs, the schedules go from 1 to 5, 1 being the most, with the 1 meaning that it has no medical use and has the highest potential for abuse. So currently, cocaine, heroin, those types of drugs are Schedule 1. But Schedule 2 through 5, Schedule 2 are opioids. So highly addictive and high potential for abuse pain medications. And so it goes down to Schedule 5, which has they are less likely to be abused and less likely to form an addiction to. So what happened here is the legislature said, okay, there are these substances that are emerging because it was CBD, then it became, you know, hemp and hemp-derived THC and the lookalike products that you see. So the legislature is trying to kind of keep up with the times. And so they'll see these substances, and as will we, and they flag it for a public hearing. And they say, okay, what do we know about this? What do the feds know? Who has any subject matter expertise that can provide us with what's going on with these substances? So after they held a public hearing, there was a bill that passed, and the legislature and the governor signed, said, look, these seven substances are concerning to us. We think that they need to be scheduled because currently there's no schedule. And so the state can schedule it as well. And so we work in concert with the feds, but the feds pretty much set the floor, and the state can determine that it wants to be a little more restrictive, it can be a little more restrictive. And so that's what happened in this case. The legislature said, look, we're concerned about these, what's going on, and we are the agency in our drug control division who have pharmacists on staff that will look at this and say, look, we don't see, there are no published reports, the FDA doesn't have any medical use for it. It looks like there's a high potential for abuse. All the testimony, or much of the testimony, supported that. And so the legislature decided to schedule it. So having a Schedule One substance, and we're going to get to those people that sell it, is a felony. So, you know, it's a serious crime to have these, kratom and other products in your store for sale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, certainly. And I want to make sure people also know. So kratom, is that something that you said that you could just freely buy that? Like, where would you get it? Not that I'm trying to get people to buy it, but like only because I don't know. Listen, I don't mean to sound like I live under a rock, but I've not heard of this, honestly. I mean, I've heard of it, but I've never seen it. I when I go to a pharmacy, is that it, you could just get it? Where do you get this?
I mean, I think that so you do find it more so in gas stations, smoke shops, vape shops, smaller convenience stores. Now that you're aware of it, and some of your listeners, you will see neon signs of it. We'll find walls of it in stores of the product.
Interesting.
It is very pervasive. It's kind of one of these new trendy type drugs that, and unlike THC, there are cases of you can overdose on this product.
Wow.
It can cause, it has caused fatalities. And so that's why it's a serious concern.
We're chatting with Commissioner Brian Caffarelli of the Connecticut Department of Consumer Protection. I do want to move to a couple of other quick stories, first and foremost, I know obviously we're getting into the spring, but I want to talk about March Madness, if you don't mind, Brian, because I think I know brackets are being filled out. Was it last year? Was it Super Bowl or was it March Madness? You guys got all these calls about illegal brackets being filled out or squares. Was it Super Bowl? Okay, but I would imagine the same kind of thing would happen with brackets, no? Do you guys get calls about that?
I thought I was over it with the Super Bowl
going. No, Brian, no. Don't become the commissioner of the Department of Consumer Protection if you think you're over talking about gambling and all this. Are you kidding? Just kidding. Come on now. I thought I was done with the Super Bowl. No, man. We're the home of the UConn Huskies. You think no one's going to do brackets?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? For the men and women. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
What do people need to know about the brackets, though? In all seriousness, because I don't know if people even understand the legality around that.
So, listen, if you're having a friendly bracket that's being circulated through your family or your friends or your office, it's fine, you know, and so we're not the bracket police or the Super Bowl square police. Gambling in all, organized forms that's not legally sanctioned is not legal. It's illegal. So if there are large scale brackets that are happening in bars or other places like that, it is not allowable. We, you know, the same thing with Super Bowl squares. The reason, other than the fact that it's not legal, we get a lot of complaints the Monday morning after the Super Bowl. You'd be surprised at people who are unhappy about the way the Super Bowl square at their local bar or whatever it was run. They didn't understand that there were going to be payouts at the quarter. They thought it was just at the end, that the bar owner took a vig bigger than they thought they would. There are all sorts of problems that happen when you get into these larger scales off the books brackets or squares. But look, if you're having an office bracket, or you're doing it with your family or your friends, it's fine. If you want to, you know, if you choose to participate in the regulated market, I will tell you, you should participate in one of the three legally sanctioned markets in Connecticut, which are the partners with both of the tribes, FanDuel and DraftKings, and the partner with our Connecticut Lotto, the Fanatics, because we make sure that they're playing by the rules. And if something goes wrong, we can make it right in most cases. And we've actually returned a lot of money to consumers, to people who have placed wagers, that the rules weren't quite where they should have been. So if you use these kind of websites that offer these great odds, or, you know, too good to be true stuff, a lot of them are off-site. You might not get paid. We've had a lot of instances of these sites actually stealing your personal information when you enter it in to get paid. Mm. And so there's a lot of problems you can run into if you're engaging in online gaming that's not one of the more within our regulated market. And I say that in all sincerity, that it's very dangerous for you to do that. And people think I'm kind of being dramatic about it, but really, when you go to, you know, place a bet, you think you're getting some great odds, and you put in a payment method, and all of a sudden they've taken money from you, it's a bad feeling. And
yeah,
it's
totally,
really, you know, a mess that we try to clean up. And so
agreed.
I think that's the bigger message here, is that there are a large percentage of your listeners who may gamble online, and really just be wary of these sites that you don't know about.
Yeah, that's so true. So true. And again, we've got Commissioner Caffarelli here. And speaking of the month of March, this is kind of madness. We saw the beginning of March was Weights and Measures Week. What is that? I don't even know what that is.
When I first started this job, my predecessor was telling me, she's like, we have this metrology lab. And I was hearing meteorology. I'm like, what do we have a meteorologist on staff for? But really, a metrologist is the one who certifies the weights and measures in the states. And so we're responsible for setting the standard of testing scales, meters, and measuring devices. And so we have inspectors that, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but they go out to 1,400 fuel stations or 600 heating oil dealers and over 3,000 locations with measuring devices. And they have equipment to test the gas pumps to make sure that the price aligns with the amount dispensed. And that, you know, in your grocery store, the inspectors will take a standard 1 pound weight that we calibrate in our lab and check that it matches 1 pound on the scale, both at the checkout counter and the self-checkout. So, in other words, we're making sure you're getting exactly what you pay for.
I did not know that, but that is really interesting. I tell you, I learn something new every time I talk to you, Commissioner Caffarelli.
A lot of people aren't aware, but they're gladly impacted by the practice of weights and measures. And
yes.
So it's one of those feel-good things.
Yeah, yep. It is. It totally is. Unfortunately, Brian, we have run out of time for today. I know that we are going to be, the next time you and I are talking is going to be next month. And certainly there's going to be a lot of people who are thawing out, going to be doing improvement, a lot of contractor things. So we will definitely talk more home improvement and all of that, I think, the next time you come on. But I always appreciate you giving us the time. Yeah, it's great to have you.
Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. That is Brian Caffarelli, the Commissioner of the Connecticut Department of Consumer Protection, right here on WICC.